children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
It's a new heart that you need. It's a new heart, yes indeed. Can't fix up the outside, must get at the inside. It's a new heart that you need. Turn to Jesus right away. He will make you new today. Can't fix up the outside, must get at the inside. It's a new heart that you need.
About Jesus sure makes your heart feel happy. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
Will the meeting of the Tax Collectors Confederacy come to attention?
Ahan, why do you call the meeting? Zacchaeus is our chief. Where is he?
That, sir, is the reason for this meeting. Have you not noticed that he has been acting strangely of late?
I can't say that I have. Why?
Well, The last few weeks, he has been collecting the taxes at a very unrealistic figure.
Well, more power to him. The higher the chief grabs, the higher we can grab.
That's just it. He isn't taking more. He's taking less.
Less?
Yes, less. Why, ever since that John fellow has been going around preaching, seems like Zacchaeus has been under his spell, even if he hasn't seen him. But he sure listens to anyone who has heard him and will talk about him.
You mean that fellow that baptizes people?
That's the one. Zacchaeus is anxious to see and hear him. I don't know what he would be like if that ever happened. The voice, as John calls himself, has changed Zacchaeus too much already. Why, the other day, a widow came in, said she had 20 goats. How many do you suppose Zacchaeus took for taxes?
Five? Seven? Oh, four at the very least.
Two kids.
Two kids?
Surely you jest.
And furthermore, when I remonstrated with him, do you know what he said? He said that we all ought to establish a uniform rate for collecting, about 5 to 8% over the amount that we are obliged to give to the Romans.
So what's he trying to do, ruin
us? He better do something.
He shouldn't be our chief anymore.
To protect all
he endangers the whole group.
Now, I would hate to see anything happen to weaken our position. It has taken us weeks, yes, months to perfect this organization. Yet I am sure that each of us and those to come after us will profit from our hard work and incessant labor. This organization of tax collectors, this coalition, will greatly help us in our unorthodox practices and collection of exorbitant taxes. It must not be in danger.
I object, strongly object, Ahan, to the terms unorthodox and exorbitant. As tax collectors, we are merely doing our duty.
Among ourselves, we may as well admit that we are collecting more taxes than necessary. It is making, or has made, us rich. It is only for this reason that we became publicans. We must take the abuse and hatred of our own people. We may say otherwise to the people, but to ourselves we may as well admit the facts.
I agree with that.
The very fact that we have formed this alliance to sustain one another is proof that we are collecting exorbitant taxes.
Well, what difference does it make? When we accepted the positions of tax collectors, we did it with our eyes open. We knew we would be refused temple attendance. The people would hate us, revile us. Sometimes they even spit at us. Every man here must have considered that getting rich is worth the price of this sort of reaction. I move that the rules of the Confederacy as set forth in the scroll of procedures be enforced. And further, that we elect Ahan to be chief instead of Zacchaeus.
All in favor, so signify.
Aye.
So shall it be. Now, as head of this confederacy, it shall be my duty to enforce the provisions of the scroll of procedures. We must pull together, think together, act together. In this manner only will our confederacy be effective. I shall personally handle all infringements, if there be any.
Zacchaeus, dear, you look fine this evening. Simply gorgeous.
Yes, I know. But tell me, my little wife, what is it you want this time?
Can't fool you, can I?
I've known you too long.
Well, dear, I could use a new dress.
A new dress? Another one? Whatever for?
Oh, never mind, dear. If we can't afford it, I can get along very well without it.
Afford it? Who said we couldn't? We can afford anything we want. Anything. I'm a tax collector, remember? And I earn as much as anyone in Jericho, I guess. Now go get your dress, two of them. Just as a matter of curiosity, not that I care, but the new dress. Do you intend to go somewhere?
As a matter of fact, yes. John, the man of the wilderness, is going to be near town tomorrow, and I'd like to hear him. And I have to be well dressed.
John, the Baptist? Oh, go, by all means. I wish that I could go with you, maybe. But if I get through that conference in time, at any rate, dear, do go. Listen very carefully and tell me every word he says.
And I say unto you, the kingdom of God is at hand. Prepare ye for it. Repent of your sins and forsake them. For no sinner shall enter the kingdom of heaven. There cometh one after me of whom the prophets of old hath foretold. Unto him...
Did he sound sincere?
Yes. Yes, I would say so.
Repent and forsake sin. Repent, for no sinner shall enter the kingdom of heaven.
I wonder what he meant by that.
It's quite obvious, I think. The kingdom of God is made up of people who have forsaken all sin. It is a kingdom where sin does not exist.
But, well, just what is sin? Are we as full of sin as the temple priests and elders say? And how can we repent if we can't even go into the temple?
Good question. I must study the scripture more and find out the truth.
Have you found out the truth yet?
Scripture has much to say about repentance and forgiveness.
Oh, but you've already been studying a long time.
I want to know the full truth, not just a part of it. Today, I heard about a man named Jesus. He treats with respect and kindness all classes of people. Publicans, Samaritans, everyone. He must be a wonderful man. I would like to know him.
Well, you're taking a long time to make up your mind what the full truth is.
But I want truth, not half-truth. Perhaps, dear, there's more under this hardened exterior of pride and worldliness than meets the eye.
Not to me. I know you. You have a good heart. You want to do what is right.
Exact no more than that which is appointed to you.
Stop mumbling to yourself. I'd like to hear what you're saying.
It's something John the Baptist said. Exact no more than that which is appointed you. He meant me. According to the scriptures, and John, and Jesus, I'm doing wrong. I am a sinner.
Then there is no hope for us?
According to the teaching of our leaders, no. But according to Jesus, yes. Repentance and reformation is possible. John said so, Jesus said so, and I believe it. Was not Matthew, who is a close disciple of Jesus, himself once a publican, even as I? There is hope.
How do we find it? I mean, what do we do first?
Well, I don't know. No one has told me, but I feel that I should start making restitution. Start paying back monies that I have collected unjustly.
Have you stopped to consider what the people will think of that? It will cause them to hate and mistrust you more than ever. They will feel sure that you do it merely somehow to extract more money from them.
I realize that, and I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to do what I think is right, regardless of what people think or do to me.
Oh, but couldn't what you think right really be wrong?
I don't think so. Not if the scriptures mean what they say. I have studied them sincerely, carefully and prayerfully, and I must obey.
I am with you. I stand firmly by my husband's side, come what may.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible and Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Thank you.
Sam on Live with Sam. My guest today is my sister Lily, and she's here to talk about sleep.
Sleep? I thought you said sheep.
Lily, I noticed that you go to sleep each night right at 9 o'clock. Can you tell me why?
Because I'm sleepy.
But so many children at your age like to stay up much, much later.
Yeah, and then they walk around the next day looking and acting like they're only half awake. My friend Sarah even falls asleep in class.
Well, your friend Sarah doesn't understand how important sleep is to a growing mind and body.
And you do?
Sure. When you sleep, your body has time to heal. It's not busy digesting food or thinking about stuff. It just relaxes and fixes things.
Fixes things? Like what?
Oh, infections and different kinds of diseases.
So sleeping is healing?
Absolutely. And you don't snore in class.
I love it when Sarah does that, especially right after the teacher says something really serious. Everyone laughs, and then Sarah wakes up and thinks someone told a joke, so she starts laughing too.
Maybe you need to tell Sarah how important it is to sleep at night.
No way, then we wouldn't have anything to laugh at in class.
Lily, we're supposed to teach people how to be healthy, not embarrass themselves in school.
Okay, you're right. I'll call Sarah right now and wish her a good night.
But it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Hey, she needs all the sleep she can get.
This is Live with Sam. Good night. Goodbye.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
If your feelings get hurt and your toys fall apart and you have a sad feeling deep in your heart and you want to go out but it's raining out there, I want you to know I care. They take you someplace and you sit in a chair. I want you to know I care. When you tell a big lie and cause a bad scene, when being grown up is a faraway dream, when they're filling your teeth and cutting your hair, I want you to know I care. I care. I do. There's no one like you. I mention your name when I'm saying my prayers. I want you to know I care. Bad cold, you can't go out. When you're sick for a week with that thing in your mouth. When you sleep in the dark and there's something out there. I want you to know I care. I care. I do. There's no one like you. Sometimes you act like a grouchy old bear. I want you to know I care. I just love you too much.
Boys and girls, this is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. The Power of a Girl by Dorothy Aitken. I just can't understand what's gotten into Kitty, Mike said to Dr. David when the owner came out to look at the horses one evening. She's always seemed to be very fond of me, and we've always had fun working with the horses together. Why? What's happened? Dr. David leaned on the corral gate and looked earnestly at this young man he had hired to care for his horses. Kitty is the one who insisted that I hire you. I know. Mike took out a cigarette and lit it. After a few puffs, he went on. Lately, she comes for a while, and we curry the horses, and she braids their manes and tails. Then, suddenly, just like that, Mike snapped his fingers, she begins to cry and runs into the house. I can't figure out what I do that makes her act that way. I'll look into it, promised Dr. David as he started toward the house. If I can find out, I'll let you know. Several days later, as his daughter sat doing her homework after supper, Dr. David asked her about her strange behavior. What makes you act that way around Mike? What do you mean, Father? Kitty looked up from her history book. He says that you work along with him for a while, and then suddenly you begin to cry and run into the house. You've got Mike mighty worried, Kit. Kitty lowered her head. I don't want Mike to die, she whispered. Well, what makes you think he's going to do that? Dr. David asked. Kitty remained silent for a long time. Come now, Kitty, tell me. Mike wants to know. Mike smokes. Kitty stated the fact almost angrily, and if he smokes, he's going to die of lung cancer. Kitty's eyes were brimming when she turned her face to her father. You saw those awful pictures about lung cancer. Well, yes, and Mike smokes a lot. And you know, Father, that he's the best person with horses. That's why we hired him. He's so kind and gentle. He talks to the horses and treats them as if they were human. We could never find anyone like Mike to take his place. Well, he's not going to die right away, Father said. But why do you suddenly start your crying right in front of him? Can't you wait till you get into the privacy of your own room? I know, Father, but it happens every day. First, we clean the stalls, then we give the horses their oats and curry them. And when that's done, there's a little break, and the first thing Mike does every day is take out a cigarette. I can just see him lying there in his coffin, white and cold. Now look, Kit, there's nothing that will do Mike more good than for you to tell him yourself why you cry and run off every afternoon. Come, let's go out to Mike's room. Kitty wasn't sure she wanted to go, but there wasn't much she could do about it, for Father was propelling her along with him. Mike, I've solved your puzzle, Dr. David announced when Mike opened the door. Mike looked a bit surprised at his visitors and frantically began to pick up odds and ends lying around the room. Kitty is going to tell you about it herself, announced Father, as Kitty hung her head. All right, why do you cry every afternoon when we're finished with the horses? Mike sat down beside Kitty and nervously reached for a cigarette. Don't do that! Kitty began to cry. Big, bellowing sobs went into the pillows on the sofa as she tried to bury her head. You're going to die, Mike! You're going to die! Whatever is she talking about? Mike looked at Father with puzzled eyes. We saw a film a few weeks ago, Father explained. It was about lung cancer, and she can't forget it. Well? Mike wasn't getting the point at all. Kitty heard the commentator say that every year 20,000 cigarette smokers die of lung cancer. Don't you see? Kitty is afraid that you are going to get lung cancer and die. Then who would take care of the horses? Never thought of that. Mike put out his cigarette and bent over Kitty. Look, Kit, if I promise to see that film, will you stop crying? Kitty nodded. And will you promise not to smoke anymore? I'll try, Mike said. At least I won't smoke in her presence, he thought. He went to see the film and came home convinced. Kitty never saw him smoke again. Then Mike began to inquire into Kitty's faith. Why did she go to church on Saturday? Why did all the horses have to be groomed and finished before sunset on Friday night? There were many whys that Mike had to find out about. Kitty told him all that she knew. One day, Mike received a letter from the president, and like so many other men, he had to join the war in Vietnam. Kitty and her parents saw him off. Be sure to keep the Sabbath, cried Kitty when the bus was about to pull out, and never smoke anymore. Mike's duty in Vietnam was tough. How many times he escaped death he never knew, but the times he did know about were terrifying. Finally, it came his turn for rest and recuperation, and he chose to go to Bangkok. As soon as he landed in Bangkok, he asked about the Adventist hospital. Somehow, he had never felt right all this time. No one seemed to care whether he lived or died, and he remembered Kitty often and her concern for his health. Maybe some other Adventists would be as interested. Mike was welcomed with open arms into the Adventist community in Bangkok. They fed him, they prayed with him, the pastor studied with him, and before Mike returned home, he was baptized. And all that started with a little girl who cared.
The story you have heard today is from God's Greatest Stories, written by various authors and compiled by Randy Fischel, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.